Nicely done. Our text this first Sunday in Lent recalls the 40 days in the wilderness Jesus spent in preparation for his ministry. The three temptations were but options that he had to consider and then reject because they were not God's will for him. Listen as I read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. This is the gospel of our risen Lord. Thanks be to God. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert or wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Now, what are we supposed to make of that? We who pray each day, as Jesus taught us, lead us not into temptation. We who are used to such soft language about the Holy Spirit, so used to speaking about how we have felt led by the Spirit, as though the Spirit is some sort of a soft, billowy cloud inviting us to nice places. What are we to make of the fact that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, that the Spirit compelled Jesus to go alone to where the wild beasts prowled and howled and where the forces of evil tested his every resolve and purpose? Really catches my attention, this phrase, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert and tempted by the devil, coming, as it does, just moments behind another event involving that same Spirit. A poignant moment, where during the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit has descended upon him like a dove, and God has spoken directly to Jesus and said, "You are my dear Son, with whom I am well pleased." Yeah, it really catches my attention that after a high moment of the Spirit, that moment of approval, of affirmation from God, that we find another dimension to that Spirit, one that's less satisfying. Think about it for a moment. The Spirit descends with a blessing, and then the Spirit drives the one blessed out into the wilderness, into the barren place, the dangerous place, and allows him to be tested by the devil, to be tempted, to be placed at risk. I think a lot of us might tend to divide the Spirit in that we see the high moments, the good moments, as God-given, God-filled, like that of Christ's baptism. And then come those moments in which we see our wilderness experiences, those times we're alone, those times we're surrounded by dangers, assaulted by temptation to take that easy way out or just give up. Moments which are not God-given or God-filled. Yet today's gospel lesson actually works for me, in that it reminds me that such a division of the Spirit is totally unwarranted. That a wilderness experience is, or can be, just as much a part of God's plan for my life as those that are more obvious. Blessed experiences. The journey of Jesus is so like our journey. It progresses through stages, growing to maturity, being called to do the work that God wants us to do. And it equips us for that work. And then, and only then, comes the wilderness, the testing of our skills, our faith, our trust. So we begin to pray for a time of being able to serve God, truly being effective in what we do in His name. My friends, I find the most striking feature of Jesus is His willingness to be led, Spirit-led. His willingness to enter into the wilderness makes me wonder, is it because of the immediacy of the experience of His baptism and then being led into the wilderness? He seems able to embrace it. And later in His life, of course, His trial and the cross. This journey of Jesus into the wilderness and then out of it again to perform His work in the world, it seems to have a quality of confident direction that I'm afraid my journeys often lack. Certainly it helps to be prepared to enter the wilderness. It helps if we've learned the lore that we need to learn. So it will help us to carry the equipment that we need to carry, which for Jesus, it was the sacred stories that He learned in His youth, the scriptures, of course, and that self-same Spirit which drove Him into the wilderness in the first place. Now, be it as it may, all of this, I really don't want to speak about being prepared for the wilderness, but instead about what to make of the wilderness experience itself. The wilderness, the aloneness, the solitude that the wilderness affords, and the hardship. I see it as an opportunity, a blessing from the Spirit of God. It is a place where we can be tested, but it's also a place where we can grow into the maturity that we require so that we can indeed face the world. Face the world in both good times and in bad. And do there those things that God would have us do. I see Jesus maturing in the wilderness, and He listens to His inner voice. He connects the blessings of the past with the need to rely upon God, and God alone for the day at hand and all the days to come. He finally understands who God has called him to be and what it requires of him, not just in his head when the Spirit said, "I baptize you in the Jordan," but in the nitty-gritty of actual facing trial and adversity and temptation all on his own, with no help other than that of the Word of God which he has learned and the presence of those angels that are present around all of us. And then when Jesus goes through all this, he is able to move back out into the world and be fully ready to serve. In that loneliness of the wilderness, Jesus discovered through his own experience that he is not really alone, that God goes with him, that angels care for him, and he has the aid of God's word, so he can survive and in fact prosper, no matter what the situation may be. Now, I said just a few minutes ago that the journey of Jesus is like our journey. Let's turn that around. Our journey, Jesus's, is like ours. How many times have we had experiences like his? We're filled with the Spirit. We're determined to go forward with a new commitment to God. We get all pumped up, ready to take on the world after a special experience of God, a special blessing, and then difficulties begin. That time of testing comes, almost as though we're being led into it. We know who we are and whose we are, and it's wonderful. But then there's that passageway back to where we passed all those tests, when we've learned the lessons of what it means to live as one, and we're able to continue on in life. To continue on in our relationship as a much stronger, much more able person. The reality is, like Jesus, we are tested whenever we try to truly serve God and use our God-given powers. This may not happen immediately, but often it does. But despite appearances to the contrary, when the testing comes, it's a blessing if we let it be so. If we allow the angels to minister to us as they ministered to Jesus, if we can hold on to the faith that we profess and exercise in the circumstances that we come to, just as he did. Now, I can only speak for myself, but when I have made it through a time in the wilderness, I've always felt stronger, more focused on what needs to be done, more able to help others, to love others, to do what God called me to do. I pray it may always be so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me once again. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may always see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.